Let's get in the Word of God this morning. And I am just moved in the Spirit already. We haven't even said anything yet. Because what you don't know is that we don't meet as a leadership team and talk about who's reading which scripture, what songs will be sung, what Bible studies before the service will be spoken about. But when it all fits together, you're thinking, God's up to something. And so we're just excited about that as a church. I'm so grateful for God's just, you know, unity in the way that he speaks. And so in 1 Corinthians, and again, there was this song that was kind of presented today about 1 Corinthians and Paul. I just thought, oh, come on, like this is so fitting for this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, let's just read it. And then we will stop and pray over the word. So in verse 11, it says, and that is what some of you were like. And we're going to dive into that in just a moment. But you were washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God, you were really saved and redeemed. And so let's just stop for a moment. Father, your word has such power and authority. And we thank you that you are up to something this morning. It's so clear and evident. We've already felt you and received you and connected with you, but we want to be fed spiritually. We came here hungry. We want to be satisfied, and so thank you that you will do that. We don't even need to ask for that to happen. It will happen because that's your word. It has truth, and it has authority, and it has power, so we thank you for it this morning. Father, if there's any area of their life that is out of alignment or misaligned, or we've been taught in the wrong way, I pray in Jesus' name that that would be stripped away and washed away from us. And that every area where all that, you know, falsehood was, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would fill those areas right now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Have a drink to that. Let's edit that out, actually. That's not good. It's terrible. Okay. Church is this. Hey, I want to get you to think about the idea that when you read a book, when you listen to a podcast, when you listen to a sermon this morning, when you came to the early morning Bible study, recently I went to a conference, that God is wanting to say something to you in those moments. And I pray that you would take one thing away at least, because usually it's more information than you can palate. But there's one thing that God wants to say to you. And maybe it's already been in the worship. Maybe it's already been in whatever it happened to be, the Sunday school Bible study this morning. Whatever it is, I pray that you would take a hold of it and you would wrestle with it. Because that's what we're supposed to do with the Lord. We're supposed to journey, and there's supposed to be a process. There's supposed to be a sanctification, a justification. I want to share more about that with you. It's a relationship. What kind of relationship do you have that you don't work at? I've been in a relationship most recently where we hadn't talked for 10 years. The relationship was terrible. But then we started talking again. The relationship's better. There's no such thing as a relationship that doesn't take an effort and doesn't take time. So make time. Make an effort for the Lord. This is the greatest relationship you can have. It's the funnest thing we get to be a part of. And so Pastor Ben, 2 weeks ago, because you weren't here last week, I didn't get to say this, you know, from the pulpit, while I was still in Victoria on vacation, you spoke, and the message was Harassed and Helpless. That was the title. Go back onto our website or our YouTube channels. Watch it. It was a brilliant message. Because what stuck with me was the picking of the raspberries, right? That was the evangelistic way that we do. We go around, we pick people. And so I just thought that just resonated with me. I thought that was awesome. And then last week I spoke on Stay in the Course about, and somebody said, this is what I got from that message. And I said this, God didn't want to bring sandwiches, he wanted to bring salvation. And there was just a little nugget there for you. And I hope that stuck with you as well, that God wants you to stay the course. He wants you to not just be satisfied one time with a sandwich. He wants you to have salvation daily as you meditate on his word. When we were down in Victoria a couple weeks ago at our district conference, so many different guest speakers, and this one gentleman spoke that kind of stuck with me. So Dr. Thompson Matthew, he's a third-generation pastor. Oh, come on! Praise the Lord. I know a guy that's a seventh generation pastor. We'll bring him here one day. It'll be great. So Dr. Thompson, he has a Master of Divinity and a Master of Sacred Theology from Yale University. A Doctor of Ministry degree from Oral Roberts University, where he's now currently on staff as an associate dean at Oral Roberts University. So great guy. The one thing that he said, though, that really stuck out to me, he was asking the question, you know, where's God's temple today? We see it in the Old Testament. Where is it today? And he referred to, again, 1 Corinthians. I was like, oh, come on. 3:16. So we all know John 3:16. Think about 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? And it was like, whoa, there's a deep nugget. So that kind of just got me on a rabbit trail. So I want to look at a bit more scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and just have some fun with you, because I think there's so much truth in what he was trying to communicate and say there. So let's go back to chapter 6, and we'll read in verse 9. Don't you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? I think that's pretty clear. Don't be deceived, neither the sexual immoral or the adulterers or the adulterers, male prostitutes or homosexual offenders, nor, verse 10, thieves, not the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And so often things that we categorize and we put onto a mountain, one category, we just single it out like this is the worst sin or this is a sin, and then we forget about it's in a great multitude, a list of sins. And so we have to also understand that, unfortunately, we all fall into that list, if we're being honest with each other, in some category. That we don't just single out people. We actually all are on an even playing field. We all are wicked. And we all, as it says, won't inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, well, that's a great message, Pastor. Thanks for that reminder. You're like, ouch. And you're like, oh, I hope the story doesn't end there. That's terrible. Let's just wrap this up and praise God, eh? Amen? You know, like, and we're thinking, oh, my word. And so we're so thankful for Scripture, aren't we? Because it doesn't end there, for crying out loud every time. Here's where it goes on to say the very next verse, which we already read, verse 11. And that is what some of you were like. That's how some of you used to be like. And we're sitting here today going, praise God, I'm not like that anymore. But we don't go around judging other people. We just say, praise God that salvation's come to this house, to my house. And I am set free because we were, well, how did we get there? Because we were washed, sanctified, and justified. How? By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, we receive those things. We were freed from those kinds of things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We need that. So there's two things, by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, which we know referring to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to look more at washed, sanctified, and justified in just a few moments, but let's just continue to read on so we can get the context here. Verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by it. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this great thought here. There's a wonderful book called Yummy Yucky. It's the greatest book of all time. It's the greatest kid's book. On one half, it has like the good thing, and the other half, it's the bad thing. And I just talked about sandwiches. It says right in here, and there's a sandbox, sand is yucky, crunch, crunch. Don't eat the sand. Sandwiches are yummy. And there's other things about like blue crayons are yucky, but blueberries are good. You know, and it's just, it's a super funny book, but it's the same thing. It's the same principle we can take away from you. Everything is permissible. Well, sand isn't good for you. I mean, you can eat it if you want. You know, kids do it all the time, but it's not the best for you. I'm not going to say I have a sand sandwich. You know, that's terrible. No, that's not what Christ came for. But we go on to verse 13, food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. Hello. And he will raise us also. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself, that our bodies are together with Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unify them with a prostitute or any kind of sin? We would never do that. Don't you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. So we see here very clearly what not to do, the wrong way. And then we're going to read really quickly here, the right way, what to do, how to walk. So in verse 17, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit. Oh, that's what we want to be. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Verse 19, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So we see in Scripture, we see a temple, an actual physical place where God said, you know, design it this way. This is where my presence will be. I want you to go there and I want you to worship me. There's a holy place. And then we read, as we come into the New Testament, we read that that temple is you and I. That temple where God lives. That when we think about Old Testament, think about that, how majestic it was, how holy it was, how much you had to kind of clean yourself before you went into it. And now we inherit it so freely and so easily. We get saved, we get sanctified, we get justified, all that stuff I'm about to tell you about. And God is here. I mean, God, we know, like, God is in heaven, and at the right hand of God is God the Father, and the Holy Spirit lives in this temple in you and I. We are the church. God's Holy Spirit lives in his temple, and we're the temple. Why would we defile it? Why would we invite things into it? You would think, well, I would never want to, you know, if you were to go into the Old Testament and go into the temple, man, you were in, like, intense. Like, you were washing everything. You're like, cleanse me of every impure thought. I don't want to walk in there, you know, end up on the ground. Because it's holy. It's reverent. It should be in awe. And then we look at the temple, and sometimes we treat it like garbage. You know, for the first 23 years of my life, you know that story. I treated this thing like a piece of junk. I didn't care about it. I thought it had no value. I just let everything into, oh, yeah, bring it all in. Let me experience all of it. And I didn't realize how anointed and how holy this thing was. And it's not my own. And we think about, sometimes we think about like certain, well, oh, God, you know, is asking a certain percentage of our finances. God is asking a certain amount of volunteer and you can kind of do with, yeah, it's all God's, all of it. He owns everything and he owns all of you. And so how do we respond with that? How do we act when we hear that? Let's read the very last verse, verse 20. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. As we sung this morning, that the cross of Christ, Christ crucified, that was a great price that he paid for you and I. Let's not discredit that or downplay that. That was a huge cost. So when it comes to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, again, we see in the Old Testament, I think there is a clear use of the temple and the sanctuary. You know, they did misuse it at times. I think sometimes we have a misunderstanding of the temple and the Holy Spirit today in our lives. And how are we allowing our bodies to be united to ungodly behaviors? Okay, that's great. Thanks for all that information. Information ain't going to change anything. But here is Scripture. What are we going to do about it? Here's the beautiful thing about Scripture. Verse 11 that we already read. This is how we used to be. You were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified by the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So I need to understand that in a greater way. So some of us used to be that way. But God consecrated his people to himself. He made that step. He went out of his way so that we could be holy, so that we could be set apart and be consecrated to him. If we go back to the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, it says, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my very own. And so when we look at our salvation, we think, hey, I got my act together. I started coming around church. I started doing this. I started serving. I started, and like, there's a lot of I's going on here. The Lord is holy. The Lord is set apart, and he's consecrated himself so that we could be connected to him. God reached out to you, and God is reaching out to you this morning. See, those transformed by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit begin to live according to him. See, prior to knowing Christ, the hard drive in you, the DNA in you, the desires in you, we're like, ugh, you didn't want to follow that. Yeah, it's a rule book. Man, I can't live the way I want to anymore. I can't do the things I want to because your desires were far from him. When you invited Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of you, God's desires are to follow this. God's desires are to be holy and set apart. God's standards and values and morals are high. Isn't that exciting to be a part of? Versus just being fallen and broken and a mess and there's no hope. No, God is saying there's hope, there's a future, and I've got a plan laid out for you. I know the plans. If you would follow me and obey me and serve me, and you would do the three things that I'm about to tell you more about, and we think about sometimes we say, well, you're talking about doing things, Pastor. You don't do or work out your salvation. That's not what I'm referring to. Don't hear that in my voice. Salvation comes from Christ, and we are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. But now what? Did we just go, boom, done, perfect? No, there's a process, there's a journey, there's a relationship, and how does that play out? That's what I want to talk about. We're washed, we're sanctified, and we're justified. Let me look at those three points really quickly with you. While this was written, the Corinthians, at that point, Paul is reminding them of the great evils that they were doing, and they were guilty of them. But he's saying, hey, some of you used to be that way, but now some of you are living this way. Because the Corinthians at that time, again, were, you know, we hear about, I've got it all together. They're a bit puffed up. They feel like they've, you know, we're doing well over here, and Paul's reminding them. There's a lot of wisdom and knowledge around, but you need Christ. They remind them of the gospel, the grace of God, the standards of God, the morals and values of God. These are the things that will help keep us pure and holy. So if we look at those things, the washing, we could think about the idea of the washing through baptism. We think about when you get baptized, we say, I die to my will and my ways. Psh, they're dead. And when I rise out of the water, then I'm coming alive to Christ and his will and his ways. That's not exactly what it's referring to. It's more like the blood of Christ is washing to bring you a regeneration, to take away your guilt. It's, again, it's not you and getting in the water and being obedient to him. It's what God did. It's what God has already done. And you're being obedient to him by following his ways. And when we think about justification and sanctification, they kind of fit together a lot of the times. Justification in owing to the suffering and merit of Christ. I want to expand on that in just a second. And sanctification, the working of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And they go together, and it's ongoing. So if we just look at washing just one more time, and then I'll move to sanctification, justification, where I really want to land this thought. That the work of the Holy Spirit in purifying was commenced in the heart and soul of a person. As the Holy Spirit moves in, it cleanses us of all of our wicked ways. And they said, there's no room for that here anymore because I am the temple of God. The work of regeneration is, it's like a conversion to God. It's like there's something internally going on. I can't show you, like, it's here, you know, like this part is, you know, it's something that's going on that just kind of, it lives out in you. It's the way that you talk and the way that you walk and the way that you think. Because there used to be defilement and pollutions that we had in there, and they're cleansed out of us. Let me just show you two scriptures to make sure I'm just not off in left field here with you. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of righteous things we have done. It's not about works, but because of God's mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's the things that God has done. He's already done them for us. And we think about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a what? You can't have a sincere heart on your own. You need God to help you with that in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from all guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Again, that's something that is going on internally as we turn to God and say, God, just cleanse us out of me. God, I can't seem to stop thinking about these things. Would you cleanse me internally? Would you wash me? Would you make me whole? Would you set me free? And you can't do that on your own. And it's a process. It's not like a one-time, like, you know, pressure washer hose. Just blast it right out of you, right? Like, it's every day you got to get up. And sometimes you need the pressure washer because it's some nasty things you've been thinking about. And sometimes it's just a gentle cleansing. But whatever it is, big or small, every day, every thought that's not lined up with the Word of God, give it to God. Say, God, I need your help today. God, I'm thinking poorly today. God, I need some cleansing today. And he's there. It's available. It's free. It's all the time. It's not like, oh, you're too bad now. You've made too many mistakes. There's no more water. The water's there. We're out of water. Sorry. You know, not going to worry anymore. Like, no. You're connected to a source that has, like God talked about, Jesus talked about the woman at the well, an endless source. I want to drink that kind of water, Lord. I want it, and I need it. And call out to it. Ask for it. Let's look at being you'll be satisfied, but sanctified. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. As Paul's telling the Corinthians, they were far from perfect. Do we have any perfect people here this morning? Show of hands. Yeah, we got one. Excellent. Praise the Lord. You would come preach then, because I'm done. But that the work was advancing, that they were in fact under a process of sanctification. See, John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. How are we going to get the truth? Your word is the truth. As we learn the truth of God's word and we apply it to our lives, it's an ongoing process. Does anyone here completely understand this thing? No, because it's alive and it's always fresh and new every time you look at it. It's like fresh, clean water. Oh, I want it from the source. I want it. As we learn it, we apply it. It's an ongoing sanctification process. Isn't that good news? Because if at salvation, you were supposed to be perfect and have it all together. Oh my gosh, I'm hooped. I'm done. If it was at that point, okay, now you've been saved, you've been given everything you need. Just don't screw it up or you're out. You're like, I'm done. You know, I don't want to be on that team. I want to be on the team where he says, you got everything you need. Now go have fun with it. And I'll coach you the whole way through. Every time you fall, I'll be right there. I'll pick you up. And I'll give you some fresh, clean water. Woo-hoo. Be fun. And so that's the kind of God that we serve. That brings me peace. That brings me just a sense of thank you, God. Because I'm a mess, God. And I don't line up to that all the time. But you graciously take me back. You gladly take me back. Let me just rabbit trail for 1 second. In Romans, it talks about when Paul writes to the Romans, he says this about them. He says, I've adopted you. Now, some of us understand adoption because we've been adopted. My last name is Young because I was adopted, and that's how I got the last name Young. But what you don't understand for a Roman citizen is that if they adopt somebody into their family, there's something they can't do. What they can do to a biological son or daughter, they could say, son, you're a plank. You're out of the will. You kick him out of the house. Kick him out of the will. Kick him out of everything. The daughter, you're messing around. You're out of here. But when a Roman soldier adopted somebody, he did not have the right or authority to ever get rid of them. Once they signed on the dotted line, they were theirs forever. Hello! Come on! We are adopted as sons and daughters to a heavenly father. It's not that he would want to get rid of you anyways, but he can't. It's not in his character because he loves you. Isn't that just like so honking deep? Oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Isn't that brilliant? When I learned that, I was just like, cha-ching, ding, light bulbs go off, right? Isn't that unbelievable to think about? That's the kind of God that we serve. No matter how much of a yahoo we are, he can't get rid of you. Even if he would never have the thought anyways, but even if you thought, I got to get this guy off my team, we got to trade him, you know, he's gone. He doesn't think like that. Those are your thoughts, not his thoughts. That was just a little side note. Sorry, back to the message. Justified. Last thing, and we'll wrap it up, say amen. Your sins are pardoned. That's a deep thought, though. Just bear with me. Our sins, though its guilt is forgiven, it can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgiven, yes, but it merits divine punishment. Your sins deserve punishment. And so you and I are forgiven. Thank you, God. I got out of that one. That's awesome. But somebody's still guilty. Somebody still needs to pay the price. And that's why we preach Christ crucified. He had to be crucified because of the things that you did. Because of the things that I did. And that kind of weighs heavy. Like, oh, darn it. I sent Christ, Jesus to the cross. That's the truth. But praise God that he set you free. Praise God that you didn't have to go through that suffering. And so when you think about the things, and every time you think about, you know, something, you're like, oh, darn it, I blew it again. Think about that's what sent Christ to the cross. But the grace and the forgiveness and the love should bring tears to your eyes for crying out loud. Because Christ loves you. Because Christ went to there. He took all the punishment so that you could be free. Let's read that kind of thought together in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Isn't that just a weight off your shoulders? Yes. And fall short of the glory of God. But then, here we go, verse 24. And are justified freely. We are set free by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ on the cross. Oh, that's good news, isn't that? And so when we come here together, we don't come here burdened and heavy. We come here praising God and lifting up our soul. God, you have cleansed me. You have set me free. No matter what happened, I can come to you of all time. And we read again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, for that is what some of you used to be like, but we're not anymore. And so when we think about ourselves, we think, oh, God has set me free. I want to help others to be free. I want those to be my friends and my family and my coworkers, all to find that freedom. And you don't just go around just randomly, you know, jam it down people's throat. But your example, your continual lifestyle, your way of living, your encouragement, you're not judgmental, you're loving, you're forgiving, you're all those kind of things. And people will go, wow. Look at what God is doing inside of that person. Don't look at the person. It's not you. It's God. What is God doing? What is God at work within you? And we be obedient to that, and we'll see the world flipped upside down on its head. Hey, man, preach Jesus. You know, here in Terrace, let's start there.